The hood, sir.
The man's a pirate corporal, not a prince. Let the drum sound!
Real good.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 166. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Ned Lynch. Sounds like the name of my insurance guy, Dunaway.
It really does. Pirate spotting 101. Second level pirates look like French mime shirts. Third level pirates are even easier to spot. They have to wear second level pirate hand-me-downs, which may include weekend tank top versions that may or may not cover up most of your mannish hair side boob. Come on, I don't need to see that.
Oh my gosh, that's the movie in a nutshell. You should do like movie phone or something. That's awesome. Also with us, Randy, who let that rooster on the damn ship, Jordan?
It wasn't a parrot.
Yeah.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This week I learned that if you take a guy in a union suit and put some boots on him, well, actually, he kind of looks like Santa Claus getting undressed. But if you then strap a sword onto him, he looks like a pirate. Wait, hold on. I meant to say he doesn't look like a pirate at all.
Yeah.
And you'd think he'd be real vulnerable to guns, right?
You'd think. Least pirate character in a pirate movie I've maybe ever seen. Way to go, Quint. Also with us, finally, Brian, Peter Boyle is really bad at feigning his own death, Ibbot.
There once was a swashbuckler named Ned.
Oh. Right?
Right.
Who wore a jumpsuit of the brightest red.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He was good suit. With a sword
uh-huh.
and Darth Vader aboard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't recite a limerick worth shit.
Right. What was that half-assed limerick he started to say?
God.
And then it's just like, I didn't know where I was going.
Oh, dude.
I think Darth Vader's limerick about the woman who had interracial...
Darkie?
Right. He tried to... I think he was trying to rhyme darky with khaki.
Yeah. Or something.
But it was so confused.
Yeah, when you are hot and you're sitting on a stump of wood in the middle of nowhere on an island someplace and you got nothing better to do, I suppose limericks are the way to go.
You want me to repeat what?
I'm not doing it.
Forget. And he's just laughing at it like,
are we going to get to hear
some
of that?
You know that I'm a black actor.
Yeah, you're going to hear that. You'll hear some of that stuff.
Right, good, because wow.
Yeah. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the film. The film is Swashbuckler, and it's a movie about the pirates, and Scott Fletcher tells us more.
Swashbuckler. It is a story that takes place in Jamaica in 1718 about a band of buccaneer pirates led by Captain Red Ned Lynch, pitted against a greedy overlord, evil Lord Durant. Durant has ruthlessly imprisoned his Lord High Justice and mercilessly evicted his wife and daughter, Jane Barnett, who eventually attempts a rescue with Lynch's help.
Captain Janeway number one was that that lady there.
Right, right. That's true. I forgot about that. She was in the...
Big fight with Daryl over the weekend, back and forth with him, as to whether or not she is truly a Star Trek connection, because he believes she's not. It was never aired and therefore never existed. And my argument is, on YouTube, you can go see a bunch of her scenes finished and filmed.
Right, right. Right.
And then they said, this isn't working out. They brought Janeway in, or they brought Kate Mulgrew in, and they reshot everything. My stance on this whole thing, these important issues that affect us today, is that that counts. She was in Star Trek, even for a minute.
No, I might have to take Daryl's side.
I don't know, man. I know she's not anything anyone's going to write home about. She's terrible in it. There's a reason they got rid of her.
Yeah.
I mean, the rumor was, she was just too tired and didn't want it. She couldn't handle the schedule. That is bunk. She is bad. She looks, she's they, real bad.
They gave her, tell the media this.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, like Berman didn't want any rough blood out there, right? He wanted to just kind of keep the waters calm, just say that she was tired. But here's the deal. You watch them both back to back, and you used to think that Kate Mulgrew was a freak and totally overacted in everything she's in. Now you think she's a thespian beyond reproach after watching What's-Her-Name do it.
Right.
It's amazing the difference. Really? Yeah, and it makes it really honestly genuinely made me appreciate the choice that they ended up with. She's much, much better.
And this whole subject goes to the heart of Swashbuckler.
Right.
Swashbuckler is like the Star Trek made entirely with all the wrong people. And it could and it would have like it was like this was our first casting. We rolled some dice to cast these people.
Yeah.
They all showed up to the casting call. We're like, we'll just take these. We didn't actually like have them audition.
No. Mm-hmm. It was a weird pick of characters. Absolutely. I think so too. Because Peter Boyle, I love him, but he is so
He's always weird,
yeah. But he was really weird in this movie.
Really miscast. I would say everybody, honestly, the only person I felt like wasn't entirely miscast was probably James Earl Jones, and probably because that guy's just got a, he can laugh and make me laugh. Like he can, and, he's, and it's a great kind of calypso kind of look to what he was wearing and all that. But, I thought that worked. He was all right.
But how long did it take you in the film to accept that in the 1700s, the early 1700s, women were paid deference and the black dude was like second in command of the pirate ship and good buddies with the white dude? Like, because right. Like for me, I almost never got over it. I like the whole film. Yeah. I was just scratching my head going, how is this? How to at least tell me a bad story to explain.
Yeah.
How
they
we got here.
And they didn't even do that, but it's okay. So the movie claims and the producers claim and director James Goldstone, it's a cool name for last name. claim that
magician
right James Goldstone is gonna make something disappear, but he made it they claim they made kind of a Errol Flynn sort of effort here. They wanted to go, oh, let's bring back the great pirate adventures of the 30s and 40s and let's bring that into a modern age. And I would actually make this argument, and hopefully this envelopes my feeling about the entire film in some manner, and that is this: pirate movies suck, and I've never seen one I liked.
Not even Johnny Depp?
No.
Yeah, about,
I thought
really?
The first Pirates of the Caribbean was kind of fun.
Right.
The other two, or are there three others? I don't even know now.
Yeah, there's four altogether. Yeah.
They're abominations. They're terrible movies. I feel like they got lucky.
Which.
So, the first one was good because it had more Jeffrey, what's his name, in it?
Uh-huh. Jeffrey Rush, yeah.
Rush, and he's great and just eats up scenery and he's great. And there was some cool things going on and they had some nice ideas. But I think every other pirate movie I've ever seen is not good. And I don't think they're actually capable of making a bunch of money in a movie theater. So when people say, who wins, pirates or ninjas? Ninjas win because they can make movies that sell tickets.
That's funny.
Okay,
we're gonna
find out next week.
yeah, we know what kills ninjas thing. We know we got the law was laid down on who can actually kill a ninja
Can I include the Jim Caviezel, Guy Pearce, Count of Monte Cristo as a pirate movie?
No.
Because if so,
not
that's
allowed.
A pretty good movie.
Not allowed.
Yeah. Oh, it's a swashbuckling movie.
It's a great movie. There is some swash. There is some buckling. And there's also some sweet sword play with, like, you know, cutlasses and things like that. So I'm with you that it's got some pirate. There's a sprinkle of piracy in there. But it's not.
That's all you're going to allow.
I can't call it a pirate movie. I just can't, because they're not. He's not on a ship. It's not yo-ho-ho. The only time they really get any of that business down is when you got, what's the ugly guy?
Luis Guzman. Oh, my God.
That whole bit is the most pirate it gets, and that stuff's pretty well done. But you know, okay, what? You know what? Hold on. Let me check with the judges. Okay, we're going to allow it.
Thank Aww. You. Okay.
Pirate movie.
Then I understand that you have to check with judges, because you previously said there's no such thing as a good pirate movie.
That's right.
And there's been a lot.
Okay, keep going. What else? What else is a good pirate movie?
You said a lot of pirate movies. You say good pirate movies, just a lot of pirate movies.
Good.
I said there's a lot of pirate good, and I'm gonna claim The Princess Bride is a pirate movie.
Oof, that's a hard one, but okay. I see where you're at with that.
You see where I'm at.
So hold on a second, Johnson. So you're saying that for it to be a pirate movie, there actually has to be, like, what percentage of the film has to take place on a pirate ship?
Okay, that's not my only condition, but I guess what I'm saying is movies. Have you seen Cutthroat Island, the Gina Davis thing?
Oh, yes. Right, with her husband, Rennie Harlan.
I'd put that right up this I put that right up the same hole as this.
Right up the same flagpole as this.
So maybe what I'm saying is good pirate movies don't feel like pirate movies. Like all that old Errol Flynn stuff bored me to tears when I would see repeats of it on TV or something, or my parents would watch it. I thought it was horrifyingly bad. And you could say Sinbad is a pirate movie.
The comedian?
Yeah. No, not Sinbad the comedian. Necessary Roughness. Yeah. Necessary Roughness is my favorite pirate movie. Right. But no, it's do you see what I'm saying? It's different. Mm-hmm. I guess. Okay.
You're talking pure Errol Flynn derivative.
Ship to ship, swinging across the rope, you know, all the stereotypes. If that's your movie, I'm out. If it's interesting and has a bunch of like nuance, I guess I'm in. But they're kind of box office, you know, they're sort of box office death when you make a pirate movie, except for Pirates of the Caribbean. Up till then, nobody could make a pirate movie that would make any money. I don't know why that's even a point, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Right. We had said there was James Earl Jones really the only person that did well in this movie. But I thought Robert Shaw did pretty darn good.
Died a year and a half later, by the way. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, he did. This movie killed him.
Well, he was Quint in Jaws, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But I thought he was kind of charming. You know, that pirate, the head pirate's kind of be a little bit charming, kind of be a badass too. And I think he pulled that off okay.
Okay. All right.
Can we include like Mask of Zorro and Legend of Zorro?
Sure. Why not? Movies? We can go ahead and say those are crap too. Bring them on.
But I'm just saying it's kind of like piracy in the Wild West, right?
On
like
the horse. Yeah.
Right. You know, like I'm just curious.
Okay. Okay. You know what? You actually make a pretty good point. The pirate. It's easy to say to look at a movie and go, okay, this is a vampire movie or this is a zombie movie. You can have little twists and turns here and there. In this movie, they run. In this movie, they shamble. Whatever your differences are, still it kind of boils down to this is a movie about zombies or whatever the subject matter is or whatever the genre is. The pirate genre is a little more stretchy than maybe I give it credit for. Or it has a little bit more reach.
Absolutely. We could bring Star Wars into this. I mean,
yeah, you kind of could. Yeah.
It's kind of a pirate movie.
Yeah, when they kiss and swing across the thing, that's a pirate move.
Yeah, and you know, Han Solo, it's not the smugglers. I mean, it's all about the pirate kind of thing, pirate life.
Kind of, yeah, right.
All right, fine. Everything's a pirate movie.
This is great. No, but no, I agree with you. Like,
hey, Goodfellas is a hell of a pirate movie, by the way.
I agree with you that a pirate movie, we have to define the genre, and there has to be a boat, and there has to be a guy who is sort of the main pirate, and there has to be swordplay, and it helps that it happens somewhere in the Caribbean. Yeah. And so this movie, the movie we're talking about, Swashbuckler, absolutely a pirate movie.
Yeah. Purest form of pirate movie.
Yep. But I just don't understand how in 1976 they didn't have a good take on the genre yet. Mm. How is it that we don't really understand it until Johnny Depp and all that, like 30 years later? What's the deal?
Well, I don't know, but it's the purity of the pirate thing you just described that I have such a problem with. It's the like when Talk Like a Pirate Day swings around every year on the internet, I want to turn off my power. I don't want anything to do with it.
That's such a different thing though. I mean, it's such, you know, it's like saying, oh, so, you know, I'm walking into a Scott Johnson analogy.
Right,
here.
Right.
It's like
it's all right, give it a shot. It's nice and right. Water's fine.
It's like saying you hate anime because you don't like eating at Benihana's.
Wow, that was a great Scott Johnson analogy. Wow.
That's beyond the pale.
You deserve an award for that.
Crap.
I mean, it's, you know, it's one, it's something that is derived from a simplification of the other. And I think you can't, well, I guess really you can't say Benihana's derived from anime. But
right.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean,
but I could tell you, for example, that I don't like anime because every single one has a dirty old man character. Every single one has a talking animal character. And every single one has people going, all the time. So, yes, I have boiled it down, right? Like I have.
Do you like the ride?
What is the ride?
At Disneyland. Do you like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride? Right?
Oh, I actually kind of do like
that. My favorite ride.
Yeah, I do like
that. Because it's cool. I usually go during the summer, so it's always nice and cool down in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's you know how I feel about Westerns. I love Westerns, right? Mm-hmm. So there are these simplified.
You like going to the Sizzler?
No, I don't like the Sizzler.
He's reaching back for the metaphor.
I got it, right? The Benihana thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't I guess all I'm saying is it's the whole yar, give me your rum, and this kind of bull. And everyone's got a wooden leg. I could do without all that.
Oh, there was a wooden leg in this too. Yeah,
so there was.
Was there? I don't remember who had it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like they had the rooster instead of the parrot. Like every little detail in this movie felt like they were making it before we really knew what was supposed to be in a pirate movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it a rooster or a Blarney cock? Can someone clear that up?
It was
the boat. The boat was named Blarney. Okay. Cock.
Yeah.
It was the Barney
cock. Yes.
God, but I assume the Blarney. I assume the Blarney cock was named because they got that damn bird on board all the time, right?
And you touched it like a Blarney rock.
The headpiece, the headpiece of the ship. Whatever they call it.
Right.
The bust.
Right.
The
rooster with boops.
The rooster with boobs. Yes, that was the
hood ornament. The cock with tits.
The hood ornament.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well done. All right. Well, this atrocity. And we can all agree on that, though, right? That this wasn't a good pirate or any other kind of movie.
No.
It was.
It's like I said at the beginning, how everybody was miscast, including the incredible Beau Bridges. Was totally wrong for his role. Yeah. And like, you want to go, okay, but it was a good script. No, it's a really bad script.
Yeah.
I don't understand how these good actors, because there's several good actors in this movie, how did they stand for this?
Yeah. The thing about Beau Bridges, though, it is nice to see that when he was in his, I assume, late 20s, early 30s, he still had the eyebrows of Cher's crotch. I mean, just giant, flowing
beasts. Oh, I thought that was the governor.
No, he had. Well, he had them, too. He had him too.
What's his name?
Peter Boyle.
But Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle's eyebrows were crazy.
They were crazy.
Ray Romano's dad. Absolutely.
I'll bet you Beau Bridges wasn't older than 23, 24.
He looks real young.
So young in this movie. He looks really young.
But that's a big difference. I mean, between him and his brother, he basically inherited his dad Lloyd's eyebrows. They're just
everything. His dad's everything. I mean, he just looks like
he is Lloyd.
I don't know.
It's like a puffy Lloyd.
I didn't get the unrated version of when he was sitting on that couch and dude with the spoons for fingers was doing whatever he was doing.
That was so weird.
I was
terrified. That scene, I was terrified. I was like, wait a minute. Are we watching Reservoir Dogs or something?
I don't want to go here.
What happened?
My daughter, she watched part of that with me and she goes, "Dad, that's like Edward Scissorhands." And I said, it's kind of like that, except Edward Scissorhands never took a bath with the governor while he was thinking about chopping somebody up.
Right.
Really weird. Director James Goldstone, by the way, did we have all seen, hold on, pulling it up here, the original Star Trek pilot, not the cage, but the other pilot that ran.
The Menagerie.
Where No Man Has Gone Before, wasn't it?
Okay.
66, I think. Wasn't that the pilot? Well, anyway.
You talking about the black and white pilot?
No, that was the cage. Now I don't know, actually.
There's the glass menagerie.
Was it?
Which one is?
Well, there's, okay, where are little girl? What are
right now, Daryl is freaking out.
What are little girls made of and where No Man Has Gone Before are the two episodes that he directed.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because once I learned that, I saw everything through the eyes of this guy did Star Trek, and it kind of made sense. Like, just the kind of, I don't know, this old, weird Saturday matinee approach to things.
Yeah. Right.
Probably built into directors like this. Like, this is what they were trained to do.
What they grew up on. Like, Lucas, you know, obviously says that that was a big influence for him, too. So
sure. And you got stuff like The Fugitive TV show, The Outer Limits. He directed a bunch of Rawhide episodes, Perry Mason, you know. I mean, Route 66, pretty much pick like an old thing, and he was doing something with it, and this felt like an old thing, not out of time, even in a 1976 when this came out.
Let's face it, none of that was probably any good, and I'm including the original series Star Trek, which I'm sorry to say, not good.
No, it's not good at all. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had this piece, this thing in it that you went, oh, now that's a thing and that's special and that may grow and that may go somewhere. But it's not like what they were making around that thing was great. It was kind of terrible. I think even Daryl, who's come up a lot in this episode, would agree with us.
Like the fifth film sack member today.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, so he had all that going on and nobody else you know who created this thing is somebody you know. But you know James Earl Jones, you know Peter Boyle, you know Genevieve Bujold.
Genevieve Bujold.
Is that how you say it? Okay. Yeah. I said it totally wrong in a bad accent. I'm offending everyone at the same time.
She's Quebecois.
Did you guys see Avery Shriver's
Does that mean she's from Quebec?
Yes.
Oh, is it? Okay.
All right. I've heard that phrase before, and I wondered if that's what it meant.
She was cute, I thought.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Cute in her day. Yeah. Avery Shriver, guy with a huge mustache, has been in a billion things.
Yes.
I loved his – it looked Gene like he had Shallot. he had a Windows XP logo on his chest. Did you notice that? Weird tattoo. It looked like Windows XP.
That's funny.
Anyway, Angelica Houston never said a single line.
Not a word. She just sat there and looked Angelica Houston-y.
All right. Now, you guys –
does that mean she doesn't get a SAG card for this?
Because
this is her first film, and I'm wondering if she, you know, if they cut all your lines, you don't get any on-air lines. You're an extra, and you don't get a SAG card.
I don't know if you're named in the credits and you appear. Like, what if you had to play a mime? Like, you would get a credit. You would get a SAG credit, right?
Wow. Yeah. Actually, that's interesting.
Because that's kind of what she does here. She plays a mime, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. She was lovely in her day. Now I want you guys to check that link in Skype that I just gave you.
Which is a link to Angelica Houston, a picture of Angelica Houston on IMDb.
Oh.
Yeah, now.
And she's wearing a wig. There's almost no doubt about that.
Of course she is. I'm pretty sure it's even attached somehow with some sort of super epoxy to those glasses.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's funny. I can totally see that.
Anyway, I just wanted to share this with you. So we're looking at that movie, and my daughter's like, she's really pretty, Dad. I go, yeah, she was in the Addams Family, which she had seen. And she goes, oh, she's so pretty. And I said, yeah, look at her now. And I popped this one up next to it. Now, we all get older, especially the Hollywood types. They do all sorts of things to try to pretend it isn't happening. But, you know, I just wanted to show her a then and now photo. And I don't know that I've ever seen one of my kids jump before. And she literally, leapt backwards.
This is a really unfortunate photo.
Yeah, like, it's a bad photo.
I think it's a bad photo, exactly.
And I like her. She's great.
Yeah, and you're looking at her in this film when she's 25, and this photo that Scott linked us, she's 61. It's like from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but you know,
her hair's
there's some
so
other
sparkly.
She's got a couple other ones where she is just as old and looks great. There, I think she, I don't know, had a turkey bender that weekend or something weird happened.
I'd just like to say thank you, Ms. Angelica Houston, for reminding me that I'm gonna wear wigs at some point.
Yeah, of course you are.
In my life, I'm wearing wigs. Yeah. Like it's gonna be on.
I'm gonna shave. I'm going Ibbot style. I ain't doing a wig. Forget it. No wigs.
This is actually a wig.
Yeah,
we should have hair on there, right? Bald cap.
Yeah, it's a bald cap.
Okay, joining SAG, any performer who worked in a principal or speaking role for a minimum of 1 day on a project, film, commercial, TV show, etc., where the producer had signed a producer's blah 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 blah, and they were paid the appropriate SAG.
So it goes to the producer, like,
right, exactly. Okay. It does say principal or speaking role. So if you're in a principal role that's not speaking, if you play a mime, a principal mime, then you get your SAG card.
Awesome.
Oh, what's that you're trying to tell me?
They quietly hand it to you.
Yeah.
Right.
What a huge game of tug of war. Yeah. What a huge scam to create this union and then make it really hard for people to join. And you know what I mean? Like all these people who are getting work and belong in your union, you're like forcing current members to sort of vouch for them before they can be in. Man, Hollywood has just been
the worst. Worst acronym ever, SAG.
Yeah, SAG is bad. Yeah. SAG is bad.
Angelica Houston obviously has her SAG card.
Right. The thing is, so here's the funny bit. So
where
I did
you keep it in my chin.
You get like a freebie these days, like in VO work. So I did those GE commercials for that firm in New York, and it went really well, and everyone was happy. But I didn't have a SAG card, so I said to them, "You guys are." They were really happy with it. So this would be fun. Let's do this again. It made some good money, all this other stuff, and they said, "Well, that was your one freebie." My one freebie. What does that even mean? It says, yeah, you won't ever work. Basically, you won't work in
this
town again.
You'll never work in this town again.
Unless you get a SAG card, which is like, what, $3,000 a year or something crazy, dumb thing like that?
Is it really?
Yeah, it's expensive. So
you get screeners for the Oscar films.
You do. And you have to watch them with, please do not duplicate this, running across the bottom constantly.
You get screeners. No. You get screeners for the SAG award films. The Oscars are the Association of...
Right. Yes. But yeah,
there's a lot of overlap though. You get
some people suggest I do it. I don't know if I would, but it just seems so expensive. By the way, another great shot here of Angelica Houston hanging out with Jack Nicholson when they're in their like 20s and 30s. She was a hottie, man. Look at her. Woof.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now she's I don't know. Now I feel like she's trying to get more money for Frozen Han Solo than he's worth. And
So,
anyway.
So can we talk tropes?
Trope time.
Because, yeah.
Oh my gosh, am I ready for that? There we go. Pirate tropes, my favorite.
So have you ever noticed that movies like this are set in this odd time when, like I said in the opening, basically a gun would change everything, and there are guns, but we kind of pretend that there aren't any people who have guns or something.
Right. It's more like for outlaws. Like,
they claimed the year was, I don't know, 1720 or 1718 or something like that. And the whole movie, I'm just thinking, man, this is a weird time. That you have to set this in this really particular time, mm-hmm. right? Because it's late enough in our history that we have all this technology to work a ship and make it go where you want it to go. And I don't even understand how these idiots are feeding themselves. It makes no sense.
Right.
But
they never ate.
Not,
they never ate in this movie. Well, no, that's right. Not true. He was sharing that mango with that chick for five seconds.
Right.
And right. And there's another
eat
trope.
A mango for hours.
There's another trope. There's so many. I don't even know where to begin.
They're hard. It is hard to start. I mean, for me, it's pirates are always sweaty and have a great time no matter what. That's a big trope for
that's
me.
One.
They're never unhappy. That is a happy life.
Mm-hmm. My favorite trope of all is the Jamaican who has no other weapon except for his big laugh.
Yes.
And that's how they fight all confrontations.
Oh, you've come to beat us up, have you? Come on in, sit down, smoke a bowl with us. Yeah. You know, it's just
what are you inferring they all smoke pot? Is that what you're saying? Jeez,
pretty much
racist.
What he was saying.
The Blarney Cop was the name of the ship. It was played by a vessel called the Golden Hindi, slightly less erotic. Both received actual billing in the credits. The vessel is a replica of the real famous ship of the same name, commanded by Sir Francis Drake from 1577 to 1580 on his voyages and explorations while pirating in the New World.
But the ship didn't have a line, so it didn't get a sidecar.
You're absolutely right. And that was it was one freebie. That was it. By the way, so here's my list of other. Here, this is what I'm saying about pure pirate movies and how they don't generally succeed. Pirate movies made from the mid-70s to the mid-90s were all flops at the box office. They include Pirates, Yellowbeard, Swashbuckler, Nate and Hayes, The Pirate Movie, and Cutthroat Island. This is what I'm going to put forth as a theory is why the Pirates of the Caribbean did okay. And I think the reason it did is they introduced magic. I think you do that, it makes it more interesting.
Makes sense, absolutely, because this is around Jamaica, where you know a lot of voodoo and that kind of stuff. I would think it'd be more.
Yeah, and they did.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, and they did that in the new stuff. The old stuff, not so much. And again, I don't know what happened. The Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I mean, I assume we're all on the same page with what a giant dip in quality they took after that first movie.
Right.
I just don't know what happened there.
Pirate movies early on were more just nothing more than Robin Hood stories. I mean, it was just a translation of the Robin Hood story to pirates.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
So everything was, you know, swinging through the trees. And
bad guys are good guys.
Okay,
well, now wait. I got to talk about that trope.
Okay.
All right.
Talk about it.
It's the trope of, like, the gentleman adventurer.
I like to call it this.
Stupid ass hair!
Go ahead.
Basically, I'd never realized until this film that trope, the gentleman adventurer, is everything James Bond is based on.
right.
Yeah,
kind of, like, sure.
Like, watching this film, I'm going, okay, I know this film is just set before James Bond. It actually comes after several James Bond movies. But, man, this guy wants to be James Bond.
The Gentleman Adventurer. I like that.
Yeah.
That would be a decent name of a film. And then just trope that up, like, play on that. Mm-hmm. And it's a guy has a white suit. Always a white suit. Oh, you can just tell. Well, you know what it is. It's Roger Moore and that Van Damme thing we watched. It's that same idea.
Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah.
He was a gentleman pirate as well. Oh, there's another pirate movie, everyone.
There was mimes in that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates and mimes.
Another pirate movie that just had a lot of fighting in it. Check this out. Released in 1976, Swashbuckler was the first back-to-back sea film for actor Robert Shaw. All right, so Quint, whose next picture would be The Deep in 77. These being the two final films of Shaw. Moreover, Shaw starred in sea movies in three consecutive years, first having been Jaws, of course, in 1975.
He was about 48 when he made this movie. Oldest looking 48-year-old trying to look younger I've ever seen.
I want to say 50s because he died right after this movie in like Let's see. He was born in 27. Let's figure this out. Oh, no, you're right, because he died in 51. You're right. You're right. He would have been late 40s for sure.
So weird how he looked. He just didn't look the part.
Well, there is a photo of him in here in his 30s, early mid 30s. That that looks like a 59-year-old man.
You got to remember, this is we were living hard during the 60s and 70s. I mean, they were smoking and drinking real hard.
Do you guys think that's a real, like, I think Ibbett and I talked about this on the morning show once, but there is an actual like guys in their 30s in old black and white movies do not look like guys in their 30s now. They look like guys in their 60s.
Mm-hmm. That's because they put that cake makeup on.
Well, maybe, but also they just were built different and had, I don't know, weirder faces, older faces. They just looked older. And I always wondered, like, you know, in the old West, you're Mitchum like some grizzled. Older. Yeah, but like these grizzled old dudes in a Western who die. He's like, yeah, it's my last breath. I'm happy. I'm looking at you. And someone says something like, oh, man, he was only 24. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's a much more recent phenomenon that we try to hold on to youth as long as we do. I mean, it's only been more recent in the last couple of generations that we've hold on so hard.
Yeah, or valued so it hard. So highly
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
People used to just age and just go, okay, I'm getting old. Big deal.
Plus we are literally living longer and that
we are.
We're stretching that out. And there are things you can do to look younger and stay younger, both artificially and naturally. And I assume that's just all sort of.
We don't stay out in the sun as much. I mean, that sun takes a huge toll on your skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that guy, remember that truck driver? There was a big meme a couple years ago. It was a picture of a truck driver who always, for 20 years, drove the same route. So he always had one face. One side of his face.
He's only got the one face.
It was always on the one side of the window, and the sun would beat on it. And then they'd take this picture of him, and his half his face looked like this young dude. The other half looked like a 90-year-old man,
wildly wrinkled. Yeah,
crazy stuff. So the lesson, kids, stay out of the sun.
Right. Imagine all the smoking we used to do. Harvey Dent. I love it. He looks like this.
The best part of it was Brian did a little Heath Ledger there.
A little Joker, yeah.
Where's Harvey Dent? That was great. Nice job. Did you all see the Superman? We shouldn't talk about that.
No. What do you want to get killed?
Oh. Okay. I don't know. I just
want to. No, I'm just going to wait for Steven Schleicher to tell me all about it.
Yeah, tomorrow. He'll tell you on Monday. Don't worry.
I'm still reeling from the Star Trek spore we pumped out other week.
Yeah. Oh,
did
don't
you
worry.
Just say Star Trek spore, because that's hysterical.
It did. The that Star Trek too. Spore. It's kind of, it's like dark, it's like red matter. It's kind of a MacGuffin. It's a dark spore.
That wasn't part of the movie, was it? Don't spoil it.
Trek spore. All right. Sorry. Back on track. Swashbuckler. That's what we're doing here. Bo Bridges. What's he doing? What's that about? He didn't seem to be his.
He was all over the place with his acting.
Yeah. Not really good or memorable or. Well, memorable, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'd say memorable, but a very, I don't know, very two-dimensional, one-dimensional, maybe one-dimensional role for him.
Half-dimensional.
Three-dimensional. He was breaking the fourth wall. Ah! He came from Stargate.
We want you to be just basically a sycophant. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Randy just posted that photo of the guy with the face. Look at that.
I'm checking. I forgot about this.
Damn, dude. Damn. Okay. I think his wife's don't look at me that way. Look at the other way.
you got my good side?
You got my good side? Okay. Don't take that photo. Yeah.
Bo Bridges was older than I credited him for earlier. He was 33 when he made this movie.
Still a young buck.
And if you say so. And
nice.
Whoa. Did hold on. Did John Voight just pop out of you and wink at you?
My stomach wanted to talk.
Yeah, I guess so. Inhale. Anyway, you were saying, sorry.
How is it that Jeff Bridges is seems to be so much more successful? But if you put him up side by side, Bo Bridges gets plenty of work.
Oh, yeah.
He's in all kinds of things. He's always like barely there in everything he's in lately.
I think that speaks to it a lot right there, is that he's a good actor, but he doesn't exude as much character, I think, as Jeff.
Totally agree. Yep. It's a swagger and a stance and a look and a hippie thing and a dude thing, and all that stuff that he does is so he's like that older brother. You got along fine. He's cool and everything, but he just was a little better looking than you. He didn't hold his weight the same as you did. And, you know, I feel like that's just the difference. There's no the talent is definitely there. Bo Bridges is great. I thought he added a, as much as I was sad to lose General What's-His-Name on Stargate, I thought he added a nice bit of class when he took his place.
He did good.
Did a good job. And if you can maneuver around his eyebrows, I mean, I don't know how cinematographers do it. But no, generally, like, I just like those guys just generally. Like, I could watch either of them do whatever they want to do. And if I wish they would do more things together. What was that movie they did together with Michelle Pfeiffer?
The Fabulous Baker Boys.
That was a great, great movie.
Yeah. But look at the characters they played. I mean, Jeff Bridges was the likable rogue, you know, the kind of
the leading man. Mm-hmm. He's the leading man.
And Bo Bridges had to play the straight-laced, oh, come on, man. Come on, be cool and be, you know.
That I wonder if that movie has had anything to do with what they get cast in and as. I just can't.
How can it not?
I can't help it because, like, when I look at Jeff Bridges, I think The Fisher King and The Contender and Crazy Heart and True Grit, and he was in Tron Legacy as the, you know, like everything. He was freaking the bad guy in the first Iron Man. Like, these are awesome roles. Mm-hmm. Bo Bridges?
He was the awesome dude. He was the dude.
Which
I rewatched again the other day because I was in the mood. And that,
or El Duderino, if you're not.
Can you imagine that Bo whole Bridges playing thing? The dude in The Big Lebowski?
Say what? What'd you say?
I can't.
What?
Well, imagine Bo Bridges playing The Big Lebowski?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
No way. It'd no. be a totally different
But
movie.
I could see him playing. You know who he could have played? He could have played the who was working for – he's a big time now. Blonde guy.
Right.
He's a famous actor now.
He's the guy who plays the other Lebowski's houseboy, basically.
Right. Yes. The old man's houseboy that was always in the car and stuff. No, shite. I can't think of his name. He's really big now. He's huge. He was Mission Impossible 3. He was the bad guy. He's in Doubt. Right. He's in 500 other really good things. Twister.
Tell his name in 3 seconds. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Thank you. Gosh, three names. Sheesh.
That couldn't guy. Even remember one of them.
Yeah, Magnolia. Like, I could just name 100 million movies he's in that he's great at. But see, that's what's interesting. He's the Bo Bridges type, but you still don't see even Bo Bridges with that kind of resume.
No.
I think it's just this weird, undescribable thing that certain actors, be they character or leading men, have, and you just can't define it, and it just gives them roles that they wouldn't normally have, and Bo just doesn't have them. He is a working man's, get the job done, efficient damn actor. That's probably all you can expect from the guy.
Damn actor. Like it.
I think we scared Randy away with those eyebrow comments because he's scalp is
not goodbye, Randy.
Even though, I don't know where we were. We're back, folks. We had a little technical glitch there. I don't know what else we were saying. I don't know. What was it? Harry.
Pirates!
Can you imagine Bo Bridges playing the dude in The Big Lebowski?
Oh, that's what we were. Yeah. I think we've kind of gone on about that. I don't think he would have. Oh, yeah, I know where we ended at. I just said I think he's a working character actor, and he does great work, and he does a great job, but he's just missing that little piece of whatever his brother has.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think he's okay with it. He's a guy that looks at me and says, I took some wax and I twisted up both eyebrows and I'm happy with who I am.
I still get enough work to keep the family fed.
Yep. I'll let Jeff do it with his mustache. I'll do it with the eyebrows. It's kind of the same thing. All right. So this movie had a lot of running around doing nothing. I didn't like that part of it. I wish they would have spent a little more time with, I don't know, character development and stuff. Instead, it was
a pirate movie. Shut up.
Yeah, but it was clink, 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 and bad fighting. Like none of it looked like professionally choreographed. It just looked.
Oh, this is going to be a big challenge next week when we compare this to the ninja fighting versus pirate fighting.
Yeah.
But this wasn't really pirate fight. Like, Peter Boyle does not know how to sword fight.
No.
In this movie, and so they,
it was more fencing, right? I mean, it was kind of a fencing.
Okay, but they shoot him like from the chest up, and even the movements you can make out when he's sword fighting are really bad. He looks like he's trying to cut down a tree.
Yeah, I irritated my family when he came on screen. I kept going, "Hey,
hey!"
Anyway, I don't do a very good Raymond, but when I do. I didn't buy that. I didn't buy anybody fighting. I thought everybody looked stupid. But again, it's 76. Was that acceptable then?
Maybe lots of people doing their own stunts.
Yeah.
Like, I was convinced that Robert Shaw and James Earl Jones jumped onto the back of a moving stagecoach and then climbed onto the roof and then flung themselves into the sides. Like, I was convinced. I didn't see stuntman at all.
Well,
on
I
that
know
stuff.
Robert Shaw had his had a big goop of freaking mango on his lip for way too long. He did that himself.
did his own stunt right there.
I forgot about that.
That
yeah.
grossed me
yeah.
out. It's like, wipe that off, dude. That's three shots of you staring at something with that thing on your lip. Ugh.
That grosses you out. So you don't mind food in your mouth. You don't mind food in someone else's mouth. It's when it's outside their mouth.
Yeah, I don't like chewed, sticky fruit food. Ugh. Right. I don't like that. Is a problem with me. I have not a phobia, but I don't like. Like, if I see somebody going, yeah, so anyway, bep, 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 and they got like a thing, like a piece of bacon hanging off their lip or something, I can't deal with it. I have to reach out and like flick it. Can't deal with that. So when movies do it, like where a fly lands on your face or something.
I know which movie you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I don't like that. Not one bit, I'll tell you. Let's see. What else? Oh, thank goodness they gave the knife chucker glasses. I think that was a nice nod to modern technology kicking in there in the 1700s.
Right, and 12 minutes of him taking all the knives off his shirt so he can throw them. That was fun.
And we had seen him before, right? Like, he's right. in lots of weird things.
Have we seen him in a film sack movie? I mean, we've obviously there's the James Bond thing. But
yes, it's called... Scaramanga,
or not Scaramanga, it was Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die, and he was the weird white
face
right. voodoo guy.
Yeah, Voodoo King.
Here, I'll tell you what it was. It was not Annie. Hold on, he was Punjabbing Annie. Hold on. Where was it? I know we'd. I know what it was. It wasn't something we've seen. We'd seen the original movie. We hadn't seen the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he did the narration for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's kind of a weird thing. And we saw that recently, so it was kind of in my head.
I just don't understand why they got a woman to play Willy Wonka. It's just not good.
You know, I didn't hate that take as much as some people did. I thought it was all right. I mean, it's so hard to take an old beloved childhood movie and redo it.
And cross-dress it. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's weird, but I wasn't put off by the weird. I thought it was fine. There were too many Deep Roys. Way too many Deep Roys for me. For my
oh, that was Deep weird.
It was a lot. I lost count of the Deep Roys. That's all I had for notes. Do you guys have anything else about this dumb pirate movie?
Why in swashbuckling? In something that is... ostensibly swashbuckling. Where are the bucklers?
Yeah.
Where, like
plenty of swash, like, no buckle.
What's up with that?
There's sword fighting. The
there's
are you
no
about?
Bucklers. There's no. I didn't see a single buckler in this film.
Well, hold on. Is it? But is that? I don't know that they're supposed to be separate, right? Or is it swashbucklers are like one person or one type of dude, right? Like the buckler. I don't think it's like, oh, where's the horseshoe guy? And then where's the buckler? We need a buckler in here. I don't think this
is. I thought they were referring to that belt he was wearing, that big red belt he had on.
The big red everything.
The sword does the swashing, and the buckler defends against the sword, right?
Oh, is that what that is? I don't even know.
Like, I just never see the bucklers. Maybe I'm not looking hard enough, and they all have
little
shields. But you know what I'm saying? If I called something sword and board, or if I called something
science
sword
fiction,
and sandals, you'd be looking
sword
for the
and sandals. You want science and fiction. Yeah.
Science and fiction, right. So, you know, the shortening of that, Swaba.
Actually, my complaint about the forthcoming Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie, World's End, is that it's not a sci-fi. They're like, and our third in our series of movies about zombies and then cops and then sci-fi is the sci-fi movie. I'm like, that's not a sci-fi movie.
Does the one where they're going to Comic-Con, that doesn't count in that
no,
series?
No, it wasn't an Edgar Wright film.
Oh, all right. He was busy doing the Scott Pilgrim business, right, at the time?
Have you seen Paul, Scott?
I have.
I have not seen Paul. Have you guys all liked it, or I don't know. I never saw it.
It was all right. Yeah. You know, wasn't? It's no Hot Fuzz. It's no Shaun of the Dead, but it's... amusing.
Well, hopefully they'll bring
it's a good Kristen Wiig joint.
Yeah, she's in that. Aren't there
Seth Rogen now ruins everything.
I can't do a good laugh, but I hate his laugh.
That's pretty close though.
It sounds like something's wrong with him.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel last week and he ruined Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, they're pimping that their end of the world movie comedy.
Yeah.
They're all playing themselves, right?
Right.
And it's
really?
Yeah,
that's funny. Because James Franco doesn't play himself in every movie.
But like they're all buddies in real life. They all play themselves in this. It's getting killer reviews, but the one part that made me laugh, somebody told me that Michael Cera has a cameo in it and he's snorting coke off a boob or something. Like he's a total dirtbag drug freak and supposedly playing himself. So it reminds me of what's his name? freaking my brain. Dr. Horrible in
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris in the White Kumar Castle movies. Thing. Yeah, where he kind of is himself, but he's the worst possible self. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that. It looks fun to me.
Which is great. Like, I like actors who don't have range. I'm not making fun of James Franco.
No. I like him, too.
No?
No, you know, like, what you're going to get when you put James Franco in your movie.
Yeah, right. Like NPH.
Although I hear that other thing he's doing with Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Gomez, I hear that's a complete and total departure.
And he's supposed to be real good. And you don't even know that's him in that trailer at first.
Okay, all right. You're right. You're right.
Supposed to be
incredible. You just undid my complaint about James Franco with
That's one where he has to drink. He has to smoke.
Breakers.
He has to smoke a lot of pineapple.
We just got a 5-star review from James Franco. Thank you very much for that.
Spring Breakers has been out for a few months. I'm worried about that film. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to watch it and it's going to turn out to be like Training Day. You know what I mean? Like, did you go
really
into
cussing?
Training? No, just like Training Day makes me uncomfortable a lot.
Oh, yeah. The whole time. All of Training Day freaked me out. I'm with you on that one. I just, James Franco, can we just at least agree that it's great he got his arm out of that rock? I feel pretty good about it.
I liked him in Oz the Great and Powerful. I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
What movie he wasn't in, though?
What?
Swashbuckler.
Yeah. Oh! You know what? And it was a void there, too, where he could have been. But Sid Haig was. We'll talk about him in a minute.
I don't know why I'm pressuring us to get back to talking to Swashbuckler, because all the other movies you've named recently, I think I've seen since I've seen Swashbuckler.
Right. It's a long story, but we had a bit of a hole in our schedule, and Brian watched this thing early. The best part is, not only did you watch it early, but you've already watched the very next episode, like, today.
Right.
So you've got
the biggest
gap
between.
That must be hard. Movies.
Yeah,
it's pirates.
Think about.
And it's pirates and ninjas. Like, irony is painful.
And I can tell you who won.
All right,
we'll talk about that in a week.
Yeah, we will. All right, let's get to some clips here. I got one from.
This movie. There may be a truth that the worse the movie is, the better the clips.
Mm. Yeah.
This movie, I was just like, I would have clipped that. I would have clipped that.
Yeah.
Jeez, Scott. So it's going to have 100 clips in the first 20.
There were a lot, but I tried to keep it.
You tried to keep the quality high.
I did.
Well, you had to get a lot of clips this week, because next week it's a ninja movie, and of course everybody knows ninjas don't talk. So
yeah, except nothing. They did, and it was great. There's some
I'm
really
hoping
good lines
there's
going
to be lots of ow. Hey!
There's worse than that. There's also bad Italian guy. There's lots of references to L.A. while they shoot in downtown Salt Lake City. I can't wait. All right, here's the first clip. Something about being tardy.
Do hereby decree that at dawn on the morrow.
We're a bit tardy, sir.
Never mind, Corporal. Just get to the gist of it before we're obsolete.
Yes, sir.
Goodness gracious. Before we're obsolete. You know, if they'd have hurried that up, they could have hung him and we'd be done.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. They were definitely grandstanding about that and allowed the pirate ship to slowly move into port.
Yeah. Fire off a thing.
Right.
I have Bo Bridges be completely oblivious to what. Well, talk about not listening to what your men have to say. Whew.
Right.
How long does it take to hang Darth Vader?
Like, right.
They get him in the neck. They get the thing around his neck, the noose in there.
Yeah.
And then you get to watch this ship come around the promontory for like 10 minutes.
I'll tell you how quick can you say CNN and then leave?
And Major Folly is screaming at Corporal whatever. Just pull the lever and we can leave. Pull the lever.
By the way, Major Folly. That didn't get past me. Real subtle.
So subtle.
So subtle in that movie. All right, here's something about the hood. The hood.
The hood, sir.
I just like how he says that.
The hood, sir.
The hood, sir. You know? Who killed Batman? The hood, sir. All right, Boyle in the tub. It's Peter Boyle in the tub.
That stupid, stupid, blundering fool!
There you go. No accent, just Peter Boyle.
Right.
Putting on the Ritz. All right. bad poem. Here you go. Here's your poetry. Got two of them for you, all right? A couple of limericks for you. Here's the first one.
There was a young lady, Malta.
The gaps that they put.
Swooned on the boat to Gibraltar. Though she lost her virginity in that vicinity, she still made her way to the altar.
I didn't see where he was going with that.
So
but good
this is,
job.
This is pause acting, right? Yeah, I guess this is kind of the heyday of pause acting.
Shatner acting, yep. The thing is, he's really, really good as Quint in Jaws. It's an incredible role, and he nails it, and is one of the most interesting characters ever. I felt like I was looking at a different guy in this. Just like
so, are we going to get to hear the?
I don't know if this is the racist one or not, but I'll try it. So here's 17 seconds of the next one.
There once was a lady named Starkey.
Yes, it is.
Who had an affair with a darkie.
Yes.
The result of our sins was quadruplets, not twins. One black, one white, two khaki.
Oh, khakis.
What's a car key?
That's because you lose it, so you can't drive your car if you lose your car key.
For the rest of my life, for the rest of my life, I'm going to say quadruplets.
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 What is wrong with this place? It is full of quadruplets. Fantastic.
It's hard to believe that James Earl Jones was born in Mississippi, is like 100% American, and tried in so many 70s movies to come off as an Englishman.
Well, even now his voice is just – he's done such weird things with his inflection and how he sounds.
But he was a thespian actor, right? I mean, was he like on stage?
He's a lesbian actor, Brian. Lesbian.
Oh, sorry.
Leave us alone, says this clip.
It does not please my lady.
Leave us alone.
Indeed I will, madam.
So
Yankees.
Yeah, so the aggregate Monty Python troupe as a woman.
Totally. Or, you know, like some weird place in Harry Potter where someone's telling Harry to get out of the forest or something.
Yeah.
The rooster. I use those when we've said something terrible on a show, but
it's just a rooster. Like, there was nothing special.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
You mother. Oops. That's too slow on it.
Couldn't they have hung a sword on the rooster?
Yeah, I know. A little bit of oh. Say what?
I just there was nothing special about the rooster. I wanted there to be something special.
I did too. Something. The rooster was probably horny. There was no chicken anywhere. Run me through.
Would you like to run me through, perhaps?
I would indeed, you thief.
You thief.
You thief.
Commander Paris. All right. Let's see. Next one. Singing idiot. See, that's the piracy I can't deal with.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That kind of pirate.
Dancing pirates.
Not cool at all. All right. What's this one? I don't know.
10,000 doubloons.
Oh, I just like the way she said doubloons.
Doubloons.
Doubloons. Let's see, what else? Oh, how about this one? Dropping a lot of... Oh, there's a lot of swords being dropped, okay? So a bunch of them. Whole bunch. Wow.
like domino rally with swords or something. Like, to get people timed to where they drop it, not as the other one hits the floor, but they'd have to drop it just before the previous one hits the floor. Right. So that's obviously like some major Foley work.
Yeah, I can't do it all at once. What the hell, man? Here's a racist.
Lord, you big black ape!
I love that.
The best part was that music, though. It was like, you big black ape.
Lord, you big black ape!
He looks at him. He's all big-eyed and stuff. Oh, now you've done it, he says. Even though I was making limericks about black people.
That's right.
Here is the best death sound in the film. Although, is it really the best death sound? Because maybe it wasn't a real death. But anyway, I'll let you hear it. Peter Boyle.
I think his feigned death was pretty good. Yeah. That's at least a level 10 feigned death.
Walk over here.
As for no reason other than to...
Right. Because I kept thinking, wait, did I miss something? Did he get stabbed and I missed it? Because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, what happened?
It was supposed to be a heart attack, but that was just dumb.
Right.
I don't know what this is. Let's see. What's this? Just more of that.
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's about 12 minutes of that.
Yeah.
quick quote from Fletcher.
There's no such thing as fair in a fight to a death in a thing.
Got away from him there. Slightly got away. And then I like the way he always... The way the film's title is said by Fletcher is the best way to say it.
Swashbuckler.
Buckler.
Buckler.
All right, that's it for your clips right there. It's time for the award show. We like to call the Film Sack Awards. This is where we award a film for its merits. And here's how it goes. Pirate outfit that looked the most like a red long john pair of underwear award goes to the main dude there. Chest hair fire hazard award goes to James Earl Jones. Some gnarly business. And Death of Edward Scissorhands award Went to that guy when he took it. He ended up falling on his scissor hands, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, that's what happens.
I kind of get, again, the pirate in the ninja movie kind of, I got confused about who died with knives on their fingers. But I'm glad to hear I got it right. Star Trek stuff, Sid Haig, who is usually, you see him these days in like Rob Zombie movies. He was one of the, what was that movie, The Three Terrible People that traveled around killing everybody?
Oh, yeah.
What was that called? The Rob Zombie movie. Anyway, that one, Sid Haig's in there. He's a freak. And a pretty regular guy in like lots of weird horror movies and stuff like that. He's the bald pirate. Anyway, in TOS original series, he played the first lawgiver in the episode The Return of Akrons. James Goldstone, director, directed a second pilot Where No Man Has Gone Before and directed the first season episode What Little Girls Are Made Of. So second pilot is Where No Man Has Gone Before, Brian.
Yep, you're right.
You were just trying to remember the Lords of Salem.
Maybe. Could have been. Mm-hmm. Daughters of Satan. Yep. That's what I was thinking of.
Lords of Salem.
Jack Hayes, orchestrator, did orchestration for two Star Trek films, Star Trek II Wrath of Khan and Star Trek the 2009 film. Weird. It's a big jump. Harry Bosch. You hate it when you get a Harry Bosch.
No, you were just trying to. No, it was the Devil's Rejects. Sorry.
Devil's Rejects. That's it.
Lords of Salem is like a weird almost sequel.
Totally right. Sorry. You're right. Harry Bosch, Banana Man. He was the Banana Man.
Banana Man.
In TOS, he was Dr. Brown in the episode What Little Girls Are Made Of. So I probably knew the director. And then Anthony DeLongis, Soldier in the Bar, uncredited, was on Voyager, played Kulla in 5 episodes.
Kulla.
So Kulla. There you go. Soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it an RTWT for It Repeated the Whole Time.
Mm.
Yeah, this was like a loop of
like that.
It was very annoying.
For an hour and a half. Rough stuff.
I would imagine if you could separate this score from the film, you could also use it for porno. I just have this that gave me that feeling. It sounded like
not one any of us want to see though.
No.
All right, let's
let's do that.
What we do in every episode and sum this thing up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy. What do you got?
Swashbuckler, a whitewashed impression of 18th century Jamaica through the lens of 1970s sensibilities. So, just like modern day Utah.
I love it.
Oh, zing. Brian Dunaway.
Well, Swashbuckler, bringing back a genre that should have walked the plank a long time ago. Whoa. Yar.
Yar.
You big black ape.
Wow. Yell that out loud in public, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Bibbitt.
Well, here's the deal. I wrote the tweet about a month ago, and because of all the tweets I've written since then, I'm having the hardest time trying to find it. So, but it was something about red jumpsuits, Darth Vader, and golden cocks. It was really, really funny.
Excellent. That's excellent.
That's even better than anything real.
Blarney golden cock.
Blarney golden cock.
Believe it or not, I actually wrote everything I just said.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Read it with such better acting than anyone in this film.
Right.
Yeah, nice job. All right, let's sum this thing up. Whoops, where'd I go? I just clipped out of it, and I didn't mean to. Here's what I learned while you reminded us that PG used to mean a little nudity.
Mm-hmm.
It was brief, but it was there.
Yeah, she got it was underwater nudity,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. PG was weird then. Weird time for movies. Anyway, here's what I learned. It actually is possible to smell the BO coming off of a film.
Man, this is the sweatiest movie ever.
Real sweaty, gross sweaty, too. You just tell everybody just stank. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, it looked like it was on, it was in the places they
authentic.
Were filming. Yeah,
sure.
That was very authentic. Never trust a guy named Willard with an evil mustache, even if he is your cousin.
Yeah.
And finally, Brian, nobody
I forgot about his stupid mustache.
Yeah, he sucked. Nobody makes Peter Boyle speak in a believable British accent. Nobody. And that's what I learned. All right, we got to do an email. And I thought I had one up, and I don't. So I'm going to just grab one at random. And it'll be this one for, let's try this. Time travel and a movie suggestion comes to us from Tom G. Norman from Oklahoma. I was listening to the one about the Philadelphia experiment and your discussion regarding time travel, and it made me think of a film that is the worst premise for a method of time travel of all time. It also deals with the what you do in the past affects the future conundrum in the worst possible way. No, he says that the movie is 1980s Somewhere in Time. It's a Christopher Reeve, Jane Seymour thing.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, by the way, her favorite movie when I was growing up was this movie. Yeah. She loved it. Yep.
All the ladies love that.
All the moms, right? All the moms.
Twilight of the 70s.
It was the twilight of the 80s.
Yeah.
That is so true.
It got run off by Ghost.
Ghost was the... Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That became the new one. But by then, my mom was not interested in new movies coming out anymore, I don't think. Anyway. Oh, and this guy even says in this email. He said it was one of my mom's favorite movies in the 80s. So it sounds like everybody.
All right.
Anyway, he says, as a lifelong fan of sci-fi, though, I watched this movie over and over as a little boy for the time travel aspect. As a recent rewatching has reminded me how bonkers the premise of this movie was, which is to hypnotize yourself so that it's 90 years in the past and it will actually happen. Wow. Mm-hmm. Not interested.
Sign me up.
Channeling back to my previous self.
If you have
this will work.
If you would like to submit your own ideas for movies for us to watch and or your thoughts on the show, please email those at filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film is Revenge of the Ninja. The first or second? Is it? I think it's the second
of the show. Kasuji trio, yeah, like
the ninja.
This
movies.
Is like. The first one was Enter the Ninja.
Yeah.
And then we're watching the second one, which is Revenge of the Ninja.
Which has
Don't
nothing
worry,
to do with
you'll be
it.
Able to follow along. Yeah,
there's yeah, no it's, like Troll and Troll 2. There's no connection.
And if you occasionally watch movies for Film Sack, if you occasionally watch the movies we talk about, make this one of the ones you watch before you hear our show.
Agreed. Oh,
and you're acting like we've already recorded the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the other thing that blows my mind is we've been doing this for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years?
Four.
Almost 4 years. We're coming up on 4 years.
Coming up on four.
We've been doing this. We have never once addressed the ninja craze in films in the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is our first and big and maybe last foray into ninja movies.
I hope not. I freaking loved it, and I think people will too. Go watch Revenge of the Ninja. It's not a good movie. Don't get us wrong. It is a great bad movie.
It's streaming on Netflix. I have been mentioning it on this show for years, and I'm glad we're finally getting it.
I'm so glad. And the fact that it follows a pirate movie is just frosting on the cake, man. Anyway, so next week, Revenge of the Ninja. After that, we got one more. We won't worry about that. But after that, we got the live film sack. So very much looking forward to that at Nerdtacular 2013, which we'll all be at and recording that. And you'll all love it, I'm sure. At least I hope you will. I think it's going to do it for us. Let's see. I need to play something before I say this. Hey, the website to visit is filmsack.com. You might be familiar with it. It's on the internet. It's all the kids are there. They're all using the internet. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you can follow us at filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes because we'd love that. And for more shows like this, visit frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
The result of her sins was quadruplets, not twins. One Scott, one Randy, and two Bryans? I don't know.
I once knew a man from Nantucket.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.